Okie dokie. We are getting closer, and I think this session I can finish this recording, which will be really awesome to get it off my list. Let's see. Can I continue recording and be on another app? I'm not sure if I'm... I am still recording. Perfect. Wonderful. Great. Because my computer's being, like, super slow today, like, in a very detrimental kind of way. So, that's neither here nor there. Whatever. You like listening to me ramble. That's why you're here. But I'm going to go back to the other one and let's see if it's recording. I hope there is no, like, jump cuts when I switch apps to bring up my Instagram, because this is the Twitter section. But after this, I will be doing my Instagram. And, yeah, so anyway, I'm doing my makeup right now. It's a nice, fun situation. I'm not just sitting here. I can actually be active. I was supposed to shoot a scene today, and that didn't pan out, so I'm gonna do my customs. And I think that is a very healthy coping mechanism. So, like, you're just either listening to this right now or maybe have gone through all of the AMAs, which thank you if you've done that. I hope I've been entertaining. Or maybe you're just listening to this one, or maybe you didn't ask a question and are just now knowing that I was doing an AMA at all. But anyway, it's taken me a very long time to get to this, and I apologize for that. Things have gotten a little busy. I'm kind of excited about how busy they've gotten and in which direction they have gotten busy. But I'm here now. That's all that matters. I'll try not to click things right by the microphone, but I make no promises, honestly. So, let's start. This is the Twitter section. So if you asked a question on Twitter, this is where I will be answering it. If you do not follow me on Twitter and want to, my handle is RealJTaylor. And follow me. I'm getting close to 10,000. I had 50K in 2020, but then my account was deleted, and that was really, really super awesome when that happened. Anyway, but now I have almost 10K, and only took me 2.5 years to get there. Anyway, so let's see. First question. VR is just looking around the corner, looking around out there, waiting for someone to take it to the next level, like brainstorm, which I don't know what brainstorm is. Do you have any VR content? Yes, I've done a couple VR scenes. The last one I did for Real Jam VR, I really, really liked. It was with their main male talent and Gia. Oh, fuck. I think it was Gia Durza, and I feel so bad. I think it was Gia Durza. There's a lot of Gias. And she was so fucking fun, you guys. Like, I'm gonna out her. Because I guess she retired. But so on porn sets, especially usually anal girls, it was an anal scene. So they had me booked for an anal scene, and then they were gracious enough to let me change that because I got scared to take a big giant dick in my ass on VR, because VR is usually a much harder scene because the work, it's kind of on me. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, instead of getting fucked, I have to do the fucking. And I just thought, and it was a travel scene, so I thought it might be too much. But they let me switch it, which was so nice. And, oh goodness, I got a Sex Panther message that was, used some slurs, and so that gave me pause. Anyway, Gia Durza, so she walks into the room, and I'm, like, very grateful that they let me switch the scene, so I'm, like, super, humbled. So she walks into the room and I'm getting my makeup done, and she's like, oh my god, because she knew this makeup artist. I haven't cleaned out my ass at all, like, She was just really funny and just fucking down. Like, I probably the horniest person I've ever worked with, because like the guy we were paired with was really fucking an awesome light. Like, he was really bomb. Like, he was a lot of fun. But like, I take breaks. So like, anytime the camera moves, like I'll get up and get a drink of water or walk around and take selfies or whatever. And every time I left, like, she'd stay there. And so she was just getting fucked a lot. And that was fucking sexy. Like, in the ass. Like, it was hardcore. It was crazy. But it was such a fucking hot, sexy scene. We worked really well together, the three of us, and had a lot of chemistry. There was one point where... God, I shadowed my eyeball. There was one point where she was sitting on my face. She was sitting on my face, and I think I was being fucked, or she was sucking his dick. Like, we were in a 69, and she's sitting on my face, and I like looked up, and his fingers were like in her ass while I was licking her pussy, and I just thought it was really sexy and very, very erotic. And he had a really nice uncut penis that I enjoyed a lot. So that was really cool for me. I also what was that other company? I did a scene with Tommy Gunn that was VR. Fucking shit. It's like my favorite, it's some of my favorite pictures. I don't remember the name. But anyway, if you search J. Taylor VR, you'll find it. And I'm in lingerie in that one, and I have this cute little dark brown bob that I kind of miss, so I kind of hate my hair. I'm in a weird mood today, so I'm just gonna be rambling, and that's fine, and you like that, or maybe you don't, and if you don't, then I'm really terribly sorry. But I'm hoping you like it. I am just coloring in my eyelids right now. And I forgot makeup wipes. That's going to be a problem because I'm going to have to get up. But I'm probably just going to carry you with me. This is a raw audio that I'm not going to edit unless I, like, drop something and it gets all out. Anyway, that's a long-winded explanation for if I have any VR scenes out. I do. And I've actually, I'll tell this story. My first one I did was the day I met Lena Paul. And I wasn't booked to have sex that day, but I really liked Lena. Like, I was like, hey, what's up? What's up, girl? I'm into you. So I like flirted with her hardcore, and you know, Lena's really sexy. And so she was doing her sex scene, and I like got like way up like in her business. Like, I was fucking very close and egging her on. And then when she got cum in her mouth, I asked her to share it with me. And so, like, because I was so into her that I wanted to share the load and have her snow blow into my mouth. And that's not something I do. I'm not a cum whore at all. Like, I like cum because it means he's had an orgasm, and, like, that's cool. But the fluid itself is not my bag. And then another thing about Lena that was like a one-time thing. The scene that we were nominated for, his anal mistress, where I'm really sad because I can't take it up the ass. So I like enlist the help of my assistant Lena to have my husband fuck her ass. And then they like cuck me and I cry through it. Like, everyone loves that scene. And it's the only one that's been nominated. And I, like, barely have sex in it. So I try not to let that give me a complex. But, like, I get it. I get it. It's hot. I'm gonna walk around because I need to, I'm so sorry about this audio, but I need to fix my makeup, which means I need to, take off all the fallout. So I'm just gonna walk around. It's cool. All right, you're cool. Yeah, so in...
his anal mistress, we were like discussing how to make the scene extra sexy. And I suggested her jumping off the dick and putting it in my mouth. And she's like, oh my God, you'll go ass to mouth for me? And I'm like, for you, I will. So that's the only time I ever went ass to mouth for another girl. If you haven't seen His Anal Mistress, it's like one of my most famous scenes. But if you haven't seen it, it is very good. And I'm quite proud of my acting performance in that one. Moving on to the next question after fucking 45 minutes or whatever. Okay. Oh, goodness gracious. How did you come up with your stage name, Yippy Skip? Okay, well, stage name and Yippy Skip. Okay, so I don't know if you've noticed. You probably noticed, but I'm just kind of trying to phase Yippy Skip out. And I shouldn't, because I'm the only Yippy Skip. But this question that I have been answering for over 10 years really kind of starts to grind my gears. It really, and I wish it shouldn't. It's like, I can't expect you to know everything about me always. But like, I don't know. If I think it goes back to like the childhood trauma of being a horse girl and no one wanting to be my friend because I was too annoying horses. Anyway, Yippy Skip. Like, I've bred and raised horses my whole life. And Yippy Skip is what we would call it when we let the horses out. So, when then they'd go buck and play. So, we'd call it Yippy Skipping. My face looks weird. So, that's what Yippy Skip means. And I started using it in my first foray into internet eroticism, which was it was an erotica forum called, you know what? I'm not going to tell you which one it was, because I am not sure if there's anything problematic on there that I want to be connected to or not, but it was there. And, I made some mistakes. I was a virgin when I was on it, and I was very excited. And people weren't always nice to me. Sometimes they were. Usually they were. But there was a couple times when they're like, hey, just settle down. You're very young. And then I got anxious anyway. So that's Yippy Skip. Jay Taylor, the first job I ever got as an adult model was really cool. It was for, this guy who made instruction manuals for, like, oil rigs, I think. It was a very long time ago. And so what they discovered is, he's like, well, what happens is we can get guys to read the manual if there's like naked chicks in it. So it'd be like pictures of me. Excuse my fan auto turns off. It'd be pictures of me slowly undressing as I demonstrating like things in the manual. So it'd be like me holding a hammer and like me with a toolkit and like, oh, like stuff like that. And so that was really cool. And I needed a stage name, and I liked the name Janie. So Janie was the first iteration of my name, and I was kind of going through a Taylor Swift phase. I think I was 19. And so it was Janie Taylor for this first scene, and then I shortened it to J because I like androgyny, and I think that's really cool and sexy. All right. How often do you get to ride? And this is rooming horses. Not nearly often enough. When I think about it, I get kind of bummed out. And when I'm not riding enough, I tend to have, I dream about horses when I'm not riding enough. And I've been dreaming about horses all the fucking time. So I don't live with my horses. I'm about, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes away from them. But I don't drive. So I don't drive because That's the easiest way to put this. So I did get a car when I graduated high school, but there's a lot of pressure put on me to learn how to drive, and when a lot of pressure is put on me, I kind of give up. So to deflect that pressure, I let my brother drive my car, and he totaled it, which is devastating, but I'm kind of mostly over it at this point, because like it was, oh man, a long time ago. So I never finished learning to drive. That was, oh my god, that was really fucked up when that happened, but I never finished learning. And yeah, then years and years and years and years and years went by, and I have a truck now. My grandmother gave me a truck. It's a cute little red thing. And so I'm trying to learn. And I learn, and I have learned-ish. Like, I feel like I would be okay driving. And when I drive, like when I do practice, which is on occasion, I do okay. But I keep failing that test. I was wondering if I was going to talk about this. I'm recently diagnosed autistic, and it's a little more difficult for us to learn how to drive typically. And in my case, because the rules don't always make sense, because not everyone follows them the way they're being taught to me. And so it's really hard for me to formulate a picture of what I'm supposed to do on the road, because everyone does it a little differently. And that's very frustrating, particularly right on red. That doesn't make any sense to me. Like, neither here nor there. I don't drive. I'm working on it. I get to ride every couple of months. I really want to get my car situation handled, because I actually, I have my old mare at my aunt's house which is where I ride. But I bought a stallion a couple years ago, and he's up at my mom's house, and he's still untouched. I mean, he can still be, like, is handled, but he's unbroke. And I think he's very special for a little brown horse, and I would really like to begin training him, but I need a car, because I can't just dump some stallion on my aunt and expect it to be fine. I'm saying a lot of things today. You are learning so much. Okay. Yeah, so not enough. That's the short answer to that question. What's your favorite scene? Your most favorite scene? The one I always answer this question would be immersion therapy, which was, I'm going to do eyeliner. Let's see if I can do it while talking. I did it for Pet Pure Taboo. I wrote it. And, I directed it. I mean, if we're being honest, Craven's name is on it, but they gave me full creative control, which was so fucking cool. I didn't think they would. So what I figured would happen is they would, I'd show up to set, and they'd pat me on the head, say, good job, you wrote a nice little treatment, we'll take it from here. But I was treated like a queen. They let me choose, like, the room we shot in, and approved all the set decoration. I cast it, so, like, they chose my actors. My actors totally deferred to me. Like, how do you see this scene going? Like, I controlled everything that happened in that scene. And my actors, who was, I had Angela White, Seth Gamble, and Cody Steele, they were fantastic. Like, they all did exactly what I wanted, and it was perfect. So that would be my most famous, my favorite, and one of my, probably my most famous, is the one I always recommend, and it is all over the internet. Okay, so apparently I can do
the right eye while talking, not the left eye. What's a pet peeve of mine? All right, so let's talk about this. So, back to me being a little neurospicy, I have a radical sense of justice. So things like thievery, disrespect, not treating other people or other things or environments or animals or anything fairly makes me very, very upset very quickly. To the point, like, I always defer to defending whoever is getting shit on. Like, even if there are people who have been mean to me in the past, I mean, for the most part, like, there's definitely people who I do not get along with and will not defend, but this is awkward, huh? You can hear me struggling. It looks fine from far away. But it's really important to me that everything is fair and just. And so, like piracy is a big one. Like, everyone's like, oh, it's a victimless crime. Like, oh my God, no, it's not. And I'll get really upset about it. Please don't do that. Please don't. I get really upset if someone belittle someone for their appearance, or food is like a big trigger for me. So, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you eat that. Like, that's not real food. Like, that's a huge one for me. Don't fucking talk about what people are eating. It's not your business. It's fine. Things like that is really difficult for me to just let roll off my back. I'm gonna not think about how my eyeliner is incredibly uneven. How can we support you better? What a fucking excellent question. Monetarily is always definitely the best way. Like, I can't be like, no, it's fine. Because it's obviously, like, if you can't pay me, that's more helpful than you not paying me. But just being a part of the conversation is very helpful. So, like, when I cam, camming is, like, when this becomes very apparent. Just talking with me and interacting so I don't feel like I'm not being listened to and my voice is just screaming into the void is very, very helpful for me mentally, and also helps me to retain other people who might have money. So if you don't have money to spend, like, I totally get it, especially with the proliferation of free pornography. It's I don't expect you to spend every time. Like, why would you? Like, I don't. I mean, I do support a couple creators and do pay for porn in that way. But if I had to pay every single time, like, I wouldn't. Like, I can't. Like, it's too much. So just talking and interacting with me, it's really helpful. And since this is the Twitter section, I can refer to Twitter specifically. A lot of my tweets, I feel, go unnoticed. And I can't be too upset with that because I know most people don't scroll through their entire timeline. Like, I do. And that's why I unfollow so many people, because if there's anything on my timeline that I find upsetting, I just remove it. Like, I can't deal with that. I don't have time for that. But, like, for, I mean, obviously no one listening to this, but, a lot of time when I post my audios, which is something I'm really, really proud of, they don't get any interaction on Twitter, like, at all. Like, I'll post them by posting a screenshot of the post so it shows the tags and the about section, and no one will comment or favorite it, and it'll just be, like, nothing. And all that shows me is that you just don't give a fuck, which is totally fine. Like, you don't have to give any fucks at all.
But I do notice those things, and it makes me sad and makes me feel like I shouldn't post them. Which is, you know, there's, I don't know, about 1,100 of you here now. So you guys do like listening to me talk. But, yeah, so the short answer to that question is just continuing interacting. Continuing interacting with me, sharing. I guess you don't share my content with your friends. Like, I share porn with my friends, but, like, maybe you don't, and I understand it's not something most people do. So just talk to me. If you can't support financially, interact with me and treat me like a person. And you get a much better response if you do that, honestly. Like, if you make me feel... like you're genuine and your interest in me, I will give it back tenfold. Just saying. Which do you prefer, mini vids or clips for sale? What a fascinating question. I've been with clips for sale since the beginning of my content journey, which is about 10 years. And it's always been a very consistent site. It's very, I don't know, I think it's fucking super easy to use because there's nothing extra about it. Like, clips for sale is just, it's just clips that are for sale. And I feel like probably at this point they have some sort of OnlyFans subscription alternative going on there, but I've never used that. I just use it as a clip store with no additional interaction from me. And that is super easy. Minivids has far more features, and it's far more fun to look at and use as a creator and as a viewer. The only issue I have with minivids is how difficult it is to search through my own content. So, like, if you ask me, hey, I know you did a scene where you took two guys at once in your pussy, can you resend that to me? I can download that off my minivids, so I don't have to go through my editor, which is super easy. But to find that scene, I have to literally scroll through my entire store. Like, I can't search really by title, or even searching by keyword is hard. And so that's an issue I have with minivids. And also the fact that they're free, the free section of their site doesn't pay anything at all anymore. Like, that's not cool. Like, it doesn't have to pay much. Like, it can do a couple cents of ad revenue here and there, like Pornhub does, but it doesn't pay anything, and that's not fair. So I don't like that. Okay. All right, let's see. Moving on, next question. OnlyFans made a significant shift in the industry. Do you foresee any other shifts on the horizon? On the horizon is strange. Because we didn't really foresee OnlyFans happening. It kind of exploded and changed a lot of things. There's a plane. Let's just listen to that plane for a second. It's nice. Anyway. Yeah, one of the biggest changes I'm noticing now is, how do I put this and make it, I don't think there's a way to put this, I'm moving my phone, and make it not sound like I'm giving people shit, but I think there's been a degradation in the quality of content for some people. There's definitely creators out there who make beautiful content, but it's just really easy to shoot by yourself with your cell phone. So things like camera people. People are less likely to use camera people now, and so occasionally it results in more home movie-esque looking content. And that's not something everybody wants. and certainly not something like our camera people want. And since, you know,
I have a very obvious connection with a camera person, I am for using camera people. And also in my experience,
I tend to give better scenes. Like, I feel a lot more comfortable when there's an extra party involved as opposed to me just with some dude.
You know what I'm saying? Not that I've ever had an issue. But, well, that's not true. I like having an additional party involved. It's safe. And since the pandemic, when everything shut down and now it's slowly back to normal, it's just extra protection for everyone involved.
So I don't see any future shifts. I think the shift is just going to continue. We went to the APAC party the other night, which is my first industry event in like 3 years. So I was super nervous for it. But where's my eyebrow thing? I get some ASMR for you. Focus on your words. A lot of people are transitioning.
And I guess, like, I am too. Like, I have other irons in the fire that are not porn related that I'm excited about. But I never want to stop porn. Like, if I'm being honest, I don't see, oh, I'm going to do this for a while and then have an end date. Like, why? I never want to close the door on casual sex that involves a financial gain for me. I don't
see any reason why I would want to. So I guess the only transition is the transition that has always occurred, which is the slow passage of time. The slow passage of time. My question is, why are you so damn cool? Honestly, it's the autism. Are you happy? You know, that long pause probably doesn't bode well, huh? Sometimes. I really try to be. I've done a lot of work on myself, which is hard. It's hard to work on yourself. It is my goal to be happy, and unfortunately, the easiest way to be happy is to be financially secure. And I have chosen an industry with a lot of potential gain, but not a lot of security. And so that can be, I can have really, really good days, and I can also have absolutely devastating days where I feel like everything is crumbling around me. Ooh, that got deep. Anyway, yes. Today, I am doing all right. I was very not all right earlier.
As I said, I had a scene I was really excited for and didn't get to do it. And I don't think I'm going to get to do it. But that's fine. Things happen the way they're supposed to.
But I'm doing better because I decided to take my day in another direction. Where does your love of lizards come from? Oh, lizards. I love most animals, with the exception of, oh man, people are going to call me on this, with the exception of monkeys. I fucking hate monkeys so much. I think it's because they're too close to us, and they make me incredibly uncomfortable, and also they're very violent and cannibalistic and horrible animals, and I hate them. Apes are cool-ish, but specifically gorillas, bonobos, I think those are apes, and orangutans, because chimps are some of the most violent, nasty, awful creatures on the planet. And that is difficult for me to reconcile with. Lizards, I don't know, I just think they're fucking cool. I like dinosaurs. I really
like looking at animals' feet, like claws and paws and things like that. Like, I think they're fascinating. So yeah, that's part of it. And I can't say like that has nothing to do with Space Boys. And Jasper, Fade by Night, his giant lizard monster. That definitely has a little bit of something to do with it. Oh, fuck, my goddamn brush is stuck. Come on, get out of this. What is my proudest moment? Oh, man. I've been talking a long time. See, I'm getting on twice. Twice with the fan. Okay. Proudest moment. So I have, this past year, been doing Spartan races. And finishing those is just really fucking cool. When I did the one at Big Bear, it was my first time summiting a mountain. And reaching the summit was very, very cool. And also, like, I can't lie. My first scene that I ever did was for a site called Device Bondage through kink.com. And I was very young. I think I was 21. No, maybe 20. I was very young. I was still with my ex. And in, like, peak anxiety disorder time. And so for me to get on a plane to go let a strange man... Well, now that I say it, since I'm all, like, horny now, I think it's fucking hot. To get on a plane to let a strange man tie me up and beat me and finger me was a huge, horrifying thing for me. And so I remember as it led up to the day, just hoping something would happen, hoping my flight would cancel, or they would cancel, or the car would crash, like hope anything to get me out of it. But none of that happened. And I went. And I fucking had a great time. And I did a really good job. And I took everything they wanted to give me. Which, you know, my greatest fears are, like, things like being kidnapped and tortured. So, to be able to go through that and take it, incredible. Incredible. That was something I really enjoyed and was very proud of. So, there's that. Where's my spoon? Aha, I finally found it. Da 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 da. I think that's a good one to end on. That is actually the end of our Twitter questions. So thank you so much to Twitter for coming out and asking everything. I'm going to move right along and do Instagram next, because it'll be really nice to be able to upload this for you and get it off my list.